All right, guys. Welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. Your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Bill Lauritsen on the line. So, yeah, did you want to delve some more into the geometry thing, or did you want to talk about your book?
Well, I'm more interested in my newest book, which is The Invention of God. And, again, I was looking for how people came up with the idea of religion and actually started studying Atlantis, Plato's account of the destruction of Atlantis, and found that to the ancient Egyptians, the Atlantic Ocean was probably both in everything around Africa. So what we can call the Atlantic Ocean today was not what the ancient Egyptians called the Atlantic Ocean. To them, it was both what we call the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. And so you have this possibility then that Atlantis may have been in the Indian Ocean rather than the Atlantic Ocean. And if you look in the Indian Ocean, you see a great possibility near Indonesia, where you have a huge plain that is sunken since the last ice age, called the Sunda Plain, and you have tremendous geological activity. For example, the volcano Krakatau is there in Indonesia, and so I came up with the idea that Plato was inspired by his Atlantis story through the geological activity in the Indonesian area. And of course, in 2004, you had this huge tsunami, which killed over 200,000 people. And I believe that it was that same geological area that destroyed this ancient civilization that might have existed at that time in that area. And later became the basis for the idea of judgment day and things like that you see talked about later on in the Bible. So you have this you know, what I think the judgment day is, and I talk about this in my book, is this geological destruction that occurs periodically at various places, especially in Indonesia. So that's part of my book. And then another part, I started investigating ancient Egypt. And oddly enough, I found that, you know, people wonder where the great pyramids came from. And it's very interesting to read the ancient Egyptian hieroglyphs from a geological perspective, because when you do that, they make a great deal of sense. And if you follow the Nile River up into Africa, you eventually come to a slew of volcanoes, a very active geological area. And I believe that when people came out of Africa down the Nile River, they brought their knowledge of volcanoes with them, and they built these pyramids to basically represent the volcanoes. So the pyramids, the Great Pyramids, are really symbols of volcanoes. That's something I discovered, which was very interesting to me. That nobody knows this, and yet it seemed pretty obvious to me when
I was
reading.
Well, the ancients were fascinated. Well, I shouldn't say fascinated. They were, what's the word? There were so many calamities in ancient times, probably asteroidal impacts and resulting earthquakes and volcanic eruptions, that, yeah, they based their whole system of their pantheons and their, you know, their legends around this. I'll tell you what, we got another short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Okay.
What it's done to me, lose the love I knew, safely leave it through.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased. And I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
Hey guys, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. Got Bill Lauritsen on as our guest. You can read his work at earth360.com. You can get his book, The Invention of God, which we're kind of talking about numbers and nature. Tell me, I'm intrigued. So I take it that you think the whole concept of God is an invention, that you don't believe in God at all? Is that the gist of the book,
like many scientists, I'm an agnostic. People ask me, do you believe in God? And I say, do you believe in Zorch? And they say, well, what is Zorch? And I say, well, what is God? I mean, before you ask me if I believe in it, you have to define what you mean by God.
Yeah. I hear you.
So,
I'm the same way. I people will say, are you Christian? Well, I define Christian. What do you mean by, because much of what is considered Christianity today actually isn't even Christianity. There's so much twisted meanings that you got to make sure you get the definition right before you can answer that question.
Right.
I'm actually embarrassed to say that I'm a Christian to a lot of people, and because I don't want to be associated with much of what calls itself Christian.
Right, and you've written some books about that, haven't you?
Yeah, I have, actually. I was a theology major, and it took getting behind the scenes and getting burnt to realize just how bad the whole system is. So, I think I'd agree with much of what you have to say, that religion as we know it today, much of it actually was invented, and it comes bequeathed to us via ancient paganism.
Yeah, the two main things I try to document in my book are the influence of volcanoes on all the major mythologies and religions, and also the search for oxygen. That those two things were primary in the development of many religions. And by the search for oxygen, I believe what we call today the spirit and the soul was what the ancients named what today we call oxygen, because our bodies are actually 65% oxygen. And when you burn a body, when you burn it, it turns into just a bunch of ashes. And the ancient people, when they saw this, they're gonna think, well, what is the body made of? It must be made of something immaterial, something in the air. And I think they named that thing spirit or soul. Even if you have some blood and you leave it out, it evaporates. It goes into the air. So they assume that what motivates humans, what moves humans, their blood and our breath, was something immaterial in the air, and they gave it a name. But today I think we know in modern chemistry our bodies are 65% oxygen, and I think they were searching for what we today call oxygen. And I see that over and over again in many mythologies. When I look at them from that viewpoint, I see that same idea occurring over and over. The volcano and the search for oxygen. And so those are the two main ideas I talk about in my book. Several others, but those are the two main things that I found out about.
Yeah, a lot of ancient legends, Native American particularly, talk about great volcanic eruptions. The sky was darkened. The air was putrefied. You know, men couldn't breathe. They sought for higher ground, but still didn't find, you know, clean air. And
yeah, it's in the Egyptian, it's in the Mayan, it's in the Greek, Norse, the Greek gods, Zeus, it's in the Norse, the Viking or Norse mythology, it's in Japan, it's in China. All these people described volcanoes and gave them a name, and they also had the god of thunder and lightning, which the Greeks called Zeus. So, yeah, it's in all the mythologies and cultures of the world. It's quite interesting.
You know, and people wonder where a lot of these ancient civilizations went, why they just suddenly disappeared. The Maya, for example, just seemed to have literally disappeared overnight. When they did excavations in a lot of the Mayan cities, there was just stuff lying around on the ground, like they just dropped it and ran.
Yeah.
And they've actually found one Mayan city, in fact, where the pyramid there, one of the pyramids there, was completely engulfed in volcanic, ash and lava.
Yeah, I don't know why they don't realize that, but yeah, the pyramids down there in Central America and Mexico also represented the volcanoes. There are many volcanoes in that area, and Mayan collapse could have, like you're suggesting, could have been due to some volcanic cataclysm. Very possible.
And a lot of ancient cultures, you know, worshipped mountains. They were considered to be the abode of the gods, and probably for that reason, mountains were something to be feared because they could erupt at any moment. And they interpreted that as the wrath of the gods, if you will.
Yeah, but also they also saw how the eruption created new land. So you have a volcano rising out of the sea and creating an island, and then on that island you have life all of a sudden appearing, and to them that was miraculous. And they called the god of the underworld Osiris, and that was the creator of life. Also.
Yeah, both the taker and giver of life. Yeah.
So you have this. Sort of a dual character to God, like you said, the creator and the destroyer. And so, God can be very destructive, but at the same time is life-giving.
Interesting.
On the North Pole News.
Are you going to say something? Oh, no, I'm just saying, it's interesting. There's definite patterns. This comes back to the, you know, discussions I've had on previous shows about ancient mythology and how, unfortunately, it's almost entirely ignored. pretty much is entirely ignored by mainstream archaeologists and anthropologists and historians. And if they address it at all, it's just a little side note. But there's a lot of important things to be learned from studying that.
Yeah, it's a lack of multidisciplinarianism. I mean, the geologists generally don't study mythology, and the Egyptologists don't generally study geology, and so you don't get this crossover where you can learn from each other.
Right. Did you ever delve into the Mahabharata, ancient Indian Vedic texts?
Yeah, of course. I have quite a long section in my book about that, and again, those.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, those can be also interpreted in a geological or volcanic sense. I mean, Soma was the food of the gods, and I give a lot of evidence that Soma was the magma that came forth from the volcano. And also in the Greek, the ambrosia, the food of the gods, was the same thing. So why did they say that? Because the volcano seems to be immortal. It seems to be live forever. And what was feeding it was the magma. So you have this idea of immortality of the gods, and you have that whole area. But yeah, I have a whole big section on the Indian an interpretation from that viewpoint.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. They were all the ancient cultures really were, in that sense, I think light years ahead of us. They integrated, like the Renaissance man, you know, multidisciplinary studies. You know, they looked at everything from every angle. They didn't toss anything out like we do today, unfortunately. You know, it's most scientists today are actually quite narrow-minded.
Yeah, they are, because there's a lack of multidisciplinary scientists. But I don't want to say that we should return to ancient.
No. Yeah, the flat Earth thing. No, but I mean, they were much more open-minded, though, I think. You know, scientists today will shrug their nose at something today, and then tomorrow actually come around and say, hey, you know, that's not a bad idea after all, and finally catch up with...
I'm sure that has occurred. You know, there's a winnowing process that occurs. I mean, people put out all kinds of ideas, and hopefully the ones that are best get eventually accepted. I mean, I'm a multidisciplinarian, but I depend on the people who are very detail-oriented to help me. You know, I mean, I couldn't do my multidisciplinary work without their detail work, which they do in their narrow disciplines.
Right.
So I
saves
have
you a lot
to,
of time too.
Say what?
Saves you a lot of time too.
Yeah, it saves me a lot of time. So I have to be careful about putting them down, because without them, I couldn't bring these interconnections together.
Right, right. So your field that you're teaching actually isn't math, huh? What'd you say it was again?
Well, I've taught many different things. I've taught mathematics, I've taught psychology, I've taught science. Right now I'm teaching psychology at a film school out here in Los Angeles. I actually have a master's degree in psychology, but most of my undergraduate work was in engineering. So I'm very...
Oh, wow.
Like I said,
so you are multidisciplinary then.
Yes.
So you ever apply math to psychology?
Well, I mean, some of my work actually is in that area, because what I want to do is make math easier for people. And for example, I changed, pi is the circumference divided by the diameter, but I came up with some new words. I call the circumference the around and the diameter the across. So if you tell kids pi is the around divided by the across, in other words, how many times does the across fit into the around? Well, it fits in exactly, you know, 3.14 times. If you teach kids that way, they really grasp what
yeah, it makes it more interesting. Tell you what, short break, stick with us, be right back.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Take the heat out of your sleep. The Bedfan Personal Cooling System will work for anyone that is a hot sleeper, regardless of the reason. It gives you a deep, restful sleep, the way nature intended. No more tossing and turning. Say goodbye to sleepless nights. So ask yourself, are you a hot sleeper and really want to sleep cooler? A woman who suffers from the effects of menopause, including night sweats derived from hot flashes, have a medical condition that causes your body to get hot at night, or just want to save money on your air conditioning bill. It works instantly. No tools or assembly required. Don't worry. The Bedfan fits short beds, tall beds, beds with footboards, sleigh beds, water beds, and many other types of beds. If you want great relief and total comfort, give us a call at 1-210-632-8280. That's 1-210-632-8280. Or visit our site at bedfan.com, your provider for great sleep.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
Hey guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Bill Lauritsen on as our guest, mathematician, psychologist. You can read his material at Earth360, that's earth360.com. And you can also get your book there as well, right?
Right.
You can go to Amazon.com.
It's not on Amazon yet.
Oh, it isn't? Okay. So you have to go to your website to get it. Okay, once again, that's Earth360.com. Interesting articles there as well. I'll tell you what, we're going to go to a caller. We've got Daniel from BC, British Columbia. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Interesting program. It sort of reminds me of the immortal Bard when he said, you know, there are more things between heaven and earth, Horatio, than your philosophy has ever dreamt of. But I didn't get to hear your entire show. So what I was wondering about is if you raise the area of, I think, incredibly, from the little I know of it, fascinating research of what's called the Mandelbrot set and fractal geometry.
Well, no, we didn't talk too much about fractals. They are very interesting, the self-similarity on the small as on the large, or as on the large on the small.
Well, we touched a little bit when we talk about crystals. originating the atomic...
I'm speaking of specifically of the Mandelbrot set. It's a specific, geometrical configuration that, from again, the little I understand of it, is explains the geometry basically of life, and then how fractal geometry fits into it. I'm not sure, but again, I just raised the question. I know nothing.
Are you familiar with that, Bill?
Sorry?
Are you familiar with that, Bill? I remember reading it at some point, but I don't know enough about it to comment.
Well,
be interesting to Google Mandelbrot set. You'll see it's a particular shape and dynamic that it was touted to be one of the greatest discoveries of all time, but it doesn't seem to have really taken off, and I was just wondering, if you could shed any more light on it. So anyway, I'll let you go, and great show. Keep up the good work.
All right, thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out myself. I do remember coming across it at some point. I think it's Mandel, Mandel.
Yeah, he was one of the originators of fractal. Fractal geometry. I'm looking at the picture right now, and fractal geometry did make some very important contributions to our understanding of nature and life. And when looking at the mountain, for example, you can see nowadays they use fractal mathematics in that, and then looking at the coastline of a country or an island, they use math fractal geometry and trying to understand that. I don't think fractal mathematics is dead by any means, but it had a contribution to make, but I don't think it was the whole answer. I think the caller was implying that it was like some sort of secret to life. I don't think anything gives the whole answer. It just gives part of the puzzle. And it's a useful part, for sure.
Well, what fascinates me is the more you look into this stuff, one door opens up into a hallway filled with doors, and each of those doors is a hallway filled with doors. It's just one huge maze, and it just gets more and more complicated, and sometimes it's just overwhelming. The more I look into this, it's like, oh. And then, of course, it doesn't help if you don't understand a lot of the three-mile-long calculation equations,
Right.
But conceptually, just to look into this stuff, it's fascinating. And it seems the more we study, the more we realize we actually don't know.
Yeah. There's always frontiers of knowledge that we're going to. I mean, at one time we had fire, earth, air, water, and that eventually evolved through alchemy into our 118 chemical elements that we have today, and several thousand years from now, it could be something even more complex that is more predictive and accurate than what we have today. What we have today may seem like a religion at some point, some ancient religion, compared to something several thousand years from now. So you never know.
Right. I took some time about a year ago, and I actually took it to the local printer here, printed it out. I collected pictures on the internet I just did basically a Google picture search, and I collected thousands of pictures. It's a big, thick book I put together. It's fascinating. I called it Patterns in Nature, but it's just pictures with a little caption underneath it, but it's fascinating to look at all these different patterns. Like I mentioned, spirals. In fact, I guess we're going to go to a break. But when we get back, I'll go over some of these things. It's fascinating to see how these patterns just keep reoccurring over and over and over. And, you have to at least be an agnostic when you look at this stuff. There's got to be some kind of plan or design behind this. It just doesn't seem possible to be random. Anyway, stick with us, folks. We'll be right back.
All righty.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural, patent-pending wound and skin care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores and diabetic ulcers. The formula was developed by a home caregiver with more than 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including certified organic aloe vera gel with all the beneficial enzymes intact and food-grade hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, and decreasing pain while promoting healing. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com. The Healing Formula has proven effective in other areas of skin care as well, such as abrasions, rashes, and the treatment of pyorrhea, gingivitis, ear infections, and much more. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you're not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, and nurses. It is our sincere hope that the Healing Formula will help you or your loved ones to avoid any more unnecessary pain. Call 1-800-357-2944 or visit HealingFormula.com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the Success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
Hey, we're back on Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charlie Giuliani. We've got Bill Lauritsen on as our guest, mathematician. Yeah, let me just run through a list here of some of the other things that I was finding. It's fascinating. Once you this is stuff we take for granted, you know, but once you really step back and look at the whole panoramic picture, you know, I put all these pictures together. Once you start flipping through, it's like, wow, the amazing pattern emerges. I'll take hexagons, for example. I mentioned spirals earlier. But hexagons pop up all over the place. Of course, there's honeycombs. You've got them, you know, crystal faces that are quite a few different crystals form hexagons. You've got snowflakes. Every single snowflake is a hexagon. All of them are different, of course, but they're all hexagonal. Pineapple skins very often form hexagons, you know, the little individual segments. Banana skins, if you slice, you know, bananas in slices with the skin still on them, you'll see that the skin is hexagonal in shape. Then you've got fly, bee, and grasshopper eye lenses. They're all hexagons. Turtle shell scutes are often hexagonal. Komodo dragon skin segments are hexagons. Certain corals, some types of diatoms, algae, and radiolarians are hexagonal. Daisy pollen, the way that they're arranged close together, form hexagons. Certain flowers and cactus plants grow in hexagonal shapes. Mud cracks are often hexagons. I mean, it just goes on and on. You know, even Saturn's North Pole. Go ahead.
I'm glad you mentioned that because Yeah, I've studied hexagons quite a bit, and my number system, which I invented, is based on a hexagonal pattern. Of course, why is that? Well, the hexagon has six parts to it, and my number system is based on 6 and 12. So, you know, there's a relationship there between the two. And a simple thing that people can do is if you put a penny down, on a table and then you surround it with pennies, you get exactly six pennies that will fit into that row, and it forms this hexagonal shape. And then if you make another circle of pennies around that, you'll get exactly 12 pennies in the next row. And again, it keeps this this pattern up as you go out. So, and that's true for any. Instead of pennies, you could use quarters, or you could use oranges. You're going to get this six around one shape, or a hexagonal shape. So again, nature seems to be using this as you're showing, using this shape in building things. And that's why I use it in my number system, to try to keep it consistent with nature.
Yeah, it's it's really interesting. Pentagons too. An apple and cut it across the core, you'll get a five-pointed star. Of course,
yeah.
there's star fruit. There's star fish. The diosma seed pod, Google that, folks. You'll see it's a perfect star. You get certain cactus plants that grow. I never even knew there was such a thing. I was Googling, and all of a sudden these pictures of cacti were coming up, shaped in perfect pentagons, perfect five-sided shapes. Then you've got various types of flowers. Even some leaves grow shaped like stars. I couldn't believe all the stuff I was coming up with. You got sand dollars. Some urchins are perfect star shapes. You got certain diatoms, those crystal faces, moss leaf cells, certain amoebas, again, mud cracks. On and on we go again with this five-pointed thing, just like the hexagon. You got the pentagon. I mean, it's just amazing. And it doesn't seem to matter on what scale it is, to the very small, up to the very large. It could be living, non-living, you know, these patterns pop up across the board.
Yeah, it seems to be a way that nature fits things together using these basic structures, hexagonal or pentagonal structures. Yeah, it's definitely there, and it is interesting. It's definitely interesting, and just to sit down and explore that stuff, it raises your spatial intelligence. I think it certainly did for me.
Yeah, I mean, we take it for granted, but if you really stop and think about it, it's pretty miraculous. Like the honeycomb, you know, how do the bees know that the hexagon is actually, they say, the perfect shape to use for that? It provides the most stability, and it uses up the maximum, it enables them to make, you know, to maximize the space.
Yeah, and actually the honeycomb is a combination of hexagons and pentagons, so it uses both. And yeah, it's fascinating stuff. And I think they're starting to build nowadays three-dimensional computer chips, and they'll start hopefully using some of these. Probably have to use some of these same shapes that we're talking about as they build these. These more complex computer chips. I'm very interested in this whole area of artificial intelligence, and I've been exploring that and this whole idea of the singularity. Have you heard of that?
Oh, sure. Nanotechnology and
has some
scary applications though, doesn't it?
Yeah, well,
it's fascinating.
They're predicting. Some people are predicting that by the year 2030, that machines will be equal to humans in intelligence, and they call that, they're calling that event the singularity, because it's going to be a change in human society. From for the first time, we'll have machines capable.
Well, I think they've already achieved that with some people. Some computers have already reached the level.
That's possible. Well, you know about Deep Blue beating Kasparov in chess, so we have these narrow applications, but if we do ever have a computer able to think like a human, that'll be a big big thing, and it could change our society in tremendous ways. I don't know for sure if it's going to happen, but it seems like we're trending in that direction.
Right. It's amazing the speed at which technology is advancing. And again, it has some great applications, but unfortunately, as always, there's always someone out there that has, you know, evil motives that wants to exploit it for things that aren't good.
Yeah,
but,
yeah, that seems to be the case. You know, people have a human nature, and I don't know that we ever can change that or if we ever should change it.
We just got to keep it under control. Because, you know, as it advances, I mean, it's incredible. I mean, the technology today, they can literally, from orbit, keep track of you, what you're doing, where you're going, basically look through your windows. They can hear you from miles away with high-tech amplification, you know, microphones. And,
yeah,
you know, again, that can be used for good. It can also be used for bad.
Yeah, some people say there is no more privacy. Get used to it. And other people say, no, we have to still have our privacy. I'm not sure what the correct answer is on that myself.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, this current administration, I don't know how much you looked into it, but it frightens me to give them that kind of power, to give anybody, actually, that kind of power. Even if we had an administration that was above board and wasn't playing games with us, you know, it's scary to give people that kind of power because, like you said, human nature tends, well, you know, that old saying, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Even if this administration or even the next administration was totally pure, sooner or later, someone's going to take that same technology and use it to advance their own personal interests, regardless what the costs are to everybody else. You know what I'm saying? So that's what's scary about it.
It is scary, and I do hope we have a change. Well, we are going to have a change in administration next year, and I'm looking forward to that.
I think you and a whole lot of other people. I just hope, again, though, that it's a change for the better, because the trend has been for years that they just replace one bozo with one with another that's even worse. You know, this constant downward hill trek. We need to turn things around.
Yeah. I'm not that.
Because I. What's that?
I don't know as much about politics as I probably should, but I do know I haven't been particularly happy with the Bush administration. And, you know, unfortunately, I think they've created more problems than they've solved.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, drop me an email. I can bring you up to par on some of that, as well as math and nature. I've studied politics. In fact, I talk probably more about that on this show than anything else, politics. Not that I like it. I hate it, but yeah, I want to be aware of what's going on and help others become aware. And yeah, it's not a pretty picture.
You're pretty much of a libertarian, right? Or
well, I share a lot of the ideology of libertarians, but there's some areas where we depart as well. So I wouldn't call myself a libertarian per se.
Oh, okay.
But as far as their idea of, you know, upholding the Constitution, and although they don't always do that too well either, but for them, they do it a lot more than, you know, most others, the Republicans and Democrats. They seem to be selling out the Constitution. I would call myself a constitutionalist, I guess, if you're going to put a label on me. You know, they believe in sizing down the government, and I'm all for that. The government has gotten too big, way too big. You know, it's become this bloated bureaucracy that is basically regulating everything we do. One author who is a libertarian, by the way, I like him a lot. He's got a lot of really good books. James Bavard, he wrote a book called Lost Rights. It's basically an encyclopedia of how our rights have been, you know, trampled underfoot. And what he points out is that the way the laws are written today, there's basically, you know, no way that you can go through a whole day without breaking a law. And technically, you could be either taken to court or sued or actually arrested for just about anything you do anymore. You know, the laws are so stringent and so restricted that they could, if they wanted to, they could arrest you under probably 30 different laws that you're breaking just walking down the street. I mean, it's gotten that out of hand. It really has.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a business. Businesses are so regulated that some people are afraid to even open a business, even if they have the money, and most people don't even have that anymore. But even if you have the money to open a business, a lot of people are afraid because there's so many regulations you've got to comply with. It's dizzying, you know?
Yeah, they should cut all the red tape out of there and make it easy for people to start businesses, I think. And I guess, what about environment, though? Don't you think that the government has to have some say
in
that?
Oh, sure. I'm all for that. But they're not doing it. That's the problem. There's been so much deregulation now that, you know, corporations are just pumping toxins left and right into the environment. It you know, all in the name of profit. That seems to be all that the government is concerned about, making big profits for the corporations at everything else's expense. And it is frightening.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think government should do the minimum possible, but in terms of environment, I think we do need an incentive. The government creates incentives for people to get electric cars and things like that, and I think that helps.
Right. But, again, I'm seeing the trend today, you know, focusing on corporate profits at the expense of the environment, at the expense of people's jobs. I mean, you know, this administration has rewarded companies, believe it or not, to relocate overseas to places like China and India by giving them tax break incentives, encouraging them to actually send our jobs. And that's what they've been doing. Hundreds of thousands, millions of jobs have been lost just in the past 5-6 years over to these countries. And then, of course, people who lose these jobs, you go to find jobs now that are paying an equivalent of what you were making. It's almost impossible. So people are taking these huge cuts. That's one of the reasons why we have all these foreclosures on mortgages, you know, record high foreclosures. People can't afford to pay their mortgage anymore because the jobs that they're finding to replace the ones they lost are only paying, you know, 50% or whatever, or 75% of what they were making. It's not enough to cut it.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you there. I think the Bush administration has been too lax in that area and just helping corporations. I'd have to agree with you on that.
They're not following the golden ratio. They need to apply some good mathematics here.
They need some more hexagons in there.
Yeah, there you go. But it's really sad, you know, because we're living at an age in human history right now where, you know, we could be living really in a relative heaven on earth with all the technology we have. We could alleviate a lot of major problems, hunger. There's no need for hunger today with the mass food production network we've got going. But the truth is the government, not just our government, governments all across Europe, they order farmers all the time to destroy perfectly millions of tons of perfectly edible produce that could be sent to people that, you know, that are less fortunate in other countries. And it's sad that they're just, you know, and this is done to drive up the cost artificially for investors.
That's interesting. I don't know as much as you do about that area, so.
Yeah, it's just sad. You know, I mean, this is making perfect sense for Wall Street. You know, it's doing wonders for their profit margins. But it's not doing a heck of a lot for the human race across the board as a whole. But
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out next year and what happens, for sure.
You got any candidates that you got your eyes on that you think might be good for the next?
I don't know. I haven't even watched any of the debates at this point. So I don't have a TV, so it kind of keeps me from...
Yeah, you're probably better off. Nothing but junk on it anymore.
Right.
But
so I don't know. I mean, who are you in favor of?
Well, I'll tell you, there's this one guy, and you probably never heard of him. Even if you have a TV, you wouldn't probably have heard of him unless you watched Jay Leno a couple of weeks ago. He was actually on there. But he's not getting much attention from the news, which is really sad. They tend to focus on the candidates that have made promises already to the big corporations and accept big, you know, campaign contributions from the big corporations. But those are the people that sell us out to their interests. You know what I mean? This guy has not taken, his name is Ron Paul, he's from Texas. He's not taken any contributions from big corporations. He refuses to, you know, because he knows that, you know, that'll make him a party to their interests. And he doesn't want to do that. He wants to represent the American people. And in spite of the fact that the mainstream media isn't paying much attention to him, he's getting a lot of attention anyway. He's big on the internet. And like you said, a lot of the young people are actually turning to him now. There's been – oh, actually, that wasn't you. It was somebody else I was talking to on the phone this morning. But anyway, but you know, this person I was talking to brought that point out, that young people are turning now to people like this guy, you know, to the older generation folk, because they're making a lot more sense. You know, he's talking – in favor of what's going to work in the interest of the general public. Imagine that, a candidate who wants to work for the people for a change.
Yeah, that would
You might want to look into this guy. Ron Paul, his name is. He's he's been in Congress for decades, and he's got a very good record of voting against big government legislation and for the interests of the little guy. So let's hope something turns around this next election. Okay, guys, another short break. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
All right, guys, welcome back to True Threats Radio. We've got, just a few more minutes here left with our guest. Fascinating stuff. Hey, but listen, I hope you really will check out Ron Paul. Pass the word around at your, where you teach
Texas,
there.
Right? Is he from
Texas? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I've got some friends down there in Texas. I'll see. I'm going to ask them what they know, what they've heard about him.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be good. He's one of the biggest Bush opponents in Congress. I mean, he's voted no. They call him Dr. No. He is a doctor, too, by the way, as well as a congressman. But they call him Dr. No because he's voted no on everything this administration has wanted, which has been, you know, totally antithetical to our interests, literally. I mean, there hasn't been one bill proposed and passed by this current White House occupier that has not been antithetical, really, to our constitutional rights, our freedoms, just our whole way of life, you know, our economy. I mean, everything he's done. We have the highest deficits in this country's history. We've accrued more national debt under this president than all previous presidents combined, literally. That was a record formerly set under Reagan, or should I say Daddy Bush, who was the real president back then. But now he's beaten that record. More debt accrued, you know, just in 7 years than all previous presidents combined. That's not something to be proud of.
Has he been included in any of the debates so far?
Well, no. I mean, he's not. You're talking about Ron Paul.
Yeah.
He's been in all of them, and he's beaten the pants off of all of them. Again, they don't talk about him in the media. They act like he doesn't exist. They act like the next one in line, which is Giuliani, who was way behind him, by the way. He's about 40 to 50 points behind him on average. Act like he's beating, winning the debates. But only after Ron Paul. Ron Paul is beating him. But the media literally is ignoring him. I don't know if you realize it or not, but our media is owned by owned by the big corporations.
Sure,
so naturally,
sure,
they're only going to pay attention to the candidates that favor the interests of big corporations. So because Ron Paul doesn't, they just ignore him. It's astonishing.
Okay. You got me interested.
Yeah, okay, great. Anyway, in summation of what we've been talking about here, what do you make of all these patterns in nature and mathematics popping up all over the place? You mentioned you're an agnostic, so you believe there's something out there. I don't know, do you think there's some divine hand in all of this trying to send us a message? It certainly seems that way, doesn't it?
Well, if I had to define God, I would probably define him as all the space, energy, matter, and time in the universe, and it's the laws governing it, and you know that's the best I can do. I'm really just one person on a small planet in a small part of the galaxy, and I really can't claim to know much more than
right.
I can observe, you know. So I don't want to make it seem like I know that there's a supreme being out there or anything like that. I just try to, you know, look at these patterns and try to predict, you know, what's going to happen next based on the patterns, and that's the best I can do, you know.
Fascinating stuff, though. The more you study the universe, the more interesting it becomes. Truth is stranger than fiction, as I always say. And
it's going to be interesting the way things play out in the next 50 years. There'll be a lot happening.
Yeah, definitely. In every field.
Yeah.
Politics included. All right, well, thanks a lot, Bill, for coming on. Really appreciate it. Keep up the studying. I'll check your website from time to time. I'm sure you'll be posting more of your work, huh?
Sure.
Writing more papers?
Thank you, Charles.
All right. Yeah, take care. All right, folks, got a great guest lined up for tomorrow. We'll see you then. Have a good evening.
With recent